And then additionally, we are making, proposing to make a couple of changes to the signage. There is an existing sign cabinet right at this location in front of the HVAC units. We would like to relocate that to the corner. It will be clear of any site triangle issues, and we are proposing to match the existing size. Right now, the sign measures out at 16 square feet in total area, and it is about 6 feet above the ground in total. And we're proposing to match that existing size at the new location. It'll likely be a new structure. The existing structure is a little bit dated and needs some work. So it will be a new structure, but the exact same size.
What is the size of the sign?
Now, 16 square feet. So it's about, the way it measures out is like 3.5 by 4.5, basically. Like 3.5 wide and 4.5 high. And then the second sign, which is really identification more than it is anything else, is that there is a proposal to have the building named, a dedication type of name. And I did, Rabbi did actually share a photo of it today, so I did throw it on the board so you could see it. The existing facility entry, the main entry where the columns are, just above that there's a small fascia that they would like to place a name, like a dedicated name of the building, or naming the building, so to speak. And based on the dimensions that they proposed, that sign, or that lettering would be a total of 12 feet long and 12 inches high. So it would be a wall-mounted sign, by definition, that would be 12 square feet. So we are requesting that this evening as well.
And we don't, you know, because it's a residential zone, and I don't think signs are permitted in a residential zone, I guess we would need that to be an additional C variance. But.
Well, let's check, first of all, what the requirement is, what the allowable amount is for signage, first of all. Did you check that?
Well, so in a residential zone, there's nothing allowable.
Is it illuminated sign? Or is it?
The question is, will the sign on the building be illuminated?
Right now, there's a wire going through it, and lights up, like backlights from the inside.
It does currently. No,
the top.
Rabbi, come up here for a second.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Somebody, I want to show you. This is, we're talking about the proposed naming of the building. That sign.
That's not going to light up, but there may be, if it's okay, to put a light against the building.
What's the amount of
signage? To be able to see it, but not actually physically.
Zeros.
Not neon lights.
You want to call that photo, A3 photo front
sure.
Facade?
Yes.
No. Mr. Fleischman, we'll check it with Roger and Leo here, but it appears that because it's adding signage, it's a residential zone, you will need a variance for your signage. If you haven't already.
For all of it or just what we're
looking
for?
I'll let
for the new one. I think the existing one is.
We're just moving the existing, right. I think that exists.
The existing, just an existing cabinet. In there that you're moving over. That's a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Correct.
So the signage which you're adding is not pre-existing, therefore it will be a variance.
That's why John wanted to put that
okay.
on the plan, Mr. Chairman, so that the board could see it's tasteful. You know, hopefully we'll get someone.
So you're going to have to elicit what you're requesting in a variance for that.
Sure.
Okay.
And the one on Dudley, the one that you're moving to Dudley Avenue, that's illuminated?
No. That is intended to be internally illuminated, yes.
So it will light up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So the request for this sign would be a wall-mounted sign that is 12 feet long, 12 inches high, so it would be a total of 12 square feet.
So would they be on timers, or what would the hours of the lighting?
Well,
there's no lighting to that.
This will not, the one on the building wall will not be lit. Rabbi mentioned they might use some other lighting to act in the building, but.
So like a spotlight?
There's no lighting on, there's no lighting on the sign.
He's not proposing sign lighting here.
Pardon me?
He might use some uplights to accent the building itself.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then the other sign will be an internally lit sign, similar to how it is.
When he's finished.
Yeah.
All right. No, go ahead.
The question is, the sign that they're moving to the corner, basically, mm-hmm. they need a variance for that.
Yeah.
Well, would they also need an additional variance because it's going to be illuminated?
Sign is already illuminated. It's been illuminated for 40 years.
Yeah, but you're moving it, so I'm asking the question, do they need to have...
I'll defer to Leo, it's pre-existing non-conforming use, but we'll see if it's...
I wouldn't consider the existing sign a variance, they're moving an existing sign. The one that they want to put on the face of, that is a variance.
Yes.
That's how I would look at it.
We would agree.
Certainly someone might disagree.
We would agree with that, that the sign that's being proposed for the building fascia, that would be a variance, but the existing sign that's just being relocated...
Okay.
And that sign is non-illuminated, on the building?
One on the building is non-illuminated.
Correct.
That is correct.
And that size of that would be 12 feet by 1 foot?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I'm not aware, I mean, signs aren't permitted in the zone to begin with, so illuminating the one that they're moving, I don't believe we have any provisions in our ordinance that deal with that. Do you know, Roger, about signs being illuminated?
No, I think it's permitted.
Okay. And it may already be illuminated.
Yes.
There is a couple comments in Mr. McLennan's report that I wanted to just address one of them.
Please address...
Well, actually, I don't think there's too much in his report that we can handle, the four street trees, certainly acceptable to the applicant. But one of the comments is the concern about the outside play area. So I was talking to John, I'm going to let him explain what he has an idea. The problem with trying to move the... Now, we still have to go to City Commission and get approval for that area to be able to use it, as we do for the drop-off and pickup zone. We have to get that outside approval. The board doesn't have jurisdiction over that. But for the play area, if we bring that fence in even a 1 to 2 feet, then we lose the play area we need for the children. And it becomes like a Band-Aid strip, and it's not really going to be effective, and the Department of Health is going to have problems with that. So John has an idea that I'd like him to suggest to the board on how to handle this fence, leaving it where it is, which would then mandate the variance for the fence being in the right-of-way. So John, could you explain that to the board, please?
The thought was, presumably the concern based on Mr. Clarence's comment is the fact that you've got kids playing and you're right up against the public sidewalk, in theory somebody can snatch a kid. Although, that's a pretty safe place, things do happen. So one of the things we were thinking about is to utilize a 5-foot-high open black aluminum picket fence that allows full visibility from the teachers looking out so they know exactly what's still going on. But it's at an adequate height that it's not really possible to reach over. You have to climb the fence, and you would have the teachers outside with the students. So the chances of that, of something like that taking place, are pretty minimal at that point. I think that fence would, rather than just a 4-foot fence, I think that's potentially solid. I think it would create a more aesthetic look to the front of the site. And I think it would create a safer situation both from visibility, looking out of the building, out into the street. Also, when you are out there and you'll be able to see any member of the public that is walking down the sidewalk at that location. But it will be high enough that it will keep somebody from being able to make a quick move to potentially harm a child.
And that way we can leave the fence in the right, right away.
The part of that discussion, whether the fence is 4 feet forward or 4 feet backwards, doesn't really change the facts of a bad person being
right.
in an area.
Right.
Even on large public school sites, when a playground might be in the rear of the building, we deal with these same types of discussions. But I think that the fence style that we're talking about creates a much safer condition. And moving the fence back creates a space that's kind of unusable. Moving the fence forward, in my opinion, has really no negative effect on the public right-of-way or the safety condition. So to me, it makes more planning sense to allow the additional space, assuming that the City Council approves it, commission approves it, to allow that additional space to be within the play area.
And actually, wouldn't it give more security coming off the adjacent commercial parking lot? In other words, that space would have it as well.
Yeah,
this little area here,
wrap
around to the building,
give
you greater security in the whole building. So that's a modification, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, that we would make, and then we would request a variance for that fence height.
Or a 5-foot fence rather than a 4-foot fence.
Correct.
Okay. I
think that's a better option, to be honest.
Now,
Four foot's permitted?
4 foot is...
Four foot's permitted.
And then...
Actually allowed, permitted up to 6 foot.
Up to six?
But there's certain conditions of the 6 foot.
Gotcha.
I think with kids, and it's open, 6 foot would be even safer. I know you figure out things before you say it, but, you know, 5 foot, I'm 5'8", so 5 foot, if you can go six, I think six is safer.
I think we'd be more than happy to go with six.
We would.
We just didn't, because in the front yard, we were trying to find a happy medium.
Five's a better choice.
Well, ask for six and then get the medium.
We'll be happy to put six up.
Well, I think six is safe.
Well, the board has to decide whether it's going to be six to the height of it yet, so...
We're good either way. I mean, there's definitely an argument that 6 foot makes it even more secure, and we're looking for that.
The question is, it's spoken, I didn't know if I picked this up correctly or not. It appears that according to your blueprint, or your print, is that the fence is about 11.48 feet from the curb line. Is that correct?
The curb is, or the fence is essentially 8.5 feet from the curb line.
Okay, you're going to put the fence, okay, you're putting the fence on the curb.
At the back of the sidewalk.
At the back, so it's 8.5 feet.
Yes.
So it's 8.5 feet from the curb line. And then you have how much between the fence and the building do you have?
So you have, just let me use round numbers here, Jay. So it's roughly 7.5 feet plus the 4 foot of municipal property. So you're almost at 12 feet there.
Okay, inside the fence.
Inside.
And what is the total amount of fenced in play area you'll have?
So it would be that roughly 12 feet by...
Give me a pretty good number here. I mean, they're an accurate number.
It's close to 700.
I'm going to say 50. Well, by 50 is probably the space, plus the building jumps in a little bit, so there's some areas in the middle of the building that, you know, that they could do some things as well.
So that's about 600 feet.
Regular feet.
600, so you need 350 feet, I think, is the requirement. What's your requirement?
Requirement is
350. Yeah, per 10.
350.
We would love to try to get to 700. We're trying to get to 700. So that would allow, I think that...
Well, the 600 is the box I just described. We come here straight back to the building.
It wouldn't include this area.
There's area in here that can be utilized once we relocate that
sign.
So
right.
We're right at the number.
We're close.
Also, the facility I believe is run as 10 purse or 2 Penn student rooms, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We have to pin that number down this evening. So if you can pin that down a little later, we need to pin that number down.
Okay.
To the size of the play area, Mr. Chairman, is that what you're...
Yes. The amount of, if you're going to put it in your proposal, you've got to have...
Because that's driven...
...area you're applying for.
Right. Well, we're asking for our whole area to be fenced in.
That's what we're doing.
The Department of Health will drive... How many students we can have?
Well, we don't know how big it is. Exactly. We don't know how big it is exactly.
Right.
So we need to know that.
I'm sure John can probably calculate that.
He can do it.
I know you can do it, John.
Please proceed.
Okay. So we'll calculate that before.
So real quick, while we're on this sign topic, that relocated sign actually does require a variance because it's within less than 4 feet from the property line. So you're 3 and 3, unless you can move it back a foot and foot.
We could. Can we move it back a foot? We can move it back.
Well, the issue is at the porch here.
I think
you can move it 4 feet off of Dudley. That's not an issue. But if we move it back this way.
Well, you're still going to be 7 feet from the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Or 6 feet from the sidewalk.
We have to maintain the request for variance on Calvert because we would interfere with the porch.
Okay.
But we can make it 4 feet on Dudley.
That's still a variance?
Yes.
So it's still a variance.
it'd still be a variance on the Talbot side.
Yes.
Yes.
And to have a second sign, you are permitted one sign, but the second sign requires a variance too, as we know.
Right.
Okay.
John, you know, we've obviously asked the board tonight to grant us a D variance, a use variance, to allow the preschool use of the building. You're our licensed engineer, licensed planner. I'd like you to address the positive criteria, the inherently beneficial use.
Sure. So as Joel pointed out, the uses that are proposed here, the religious institution, which is a permitted use in the zone, and the child care facility, which is identified as an inherently beneficial use, in and of themselves satisfy the positive criteria for a D variance. But as Mr. Fleischman also mentioned, we think that there are, beyond that, there are purposes of zoning that are advanced with the application that I'll say bolster our argument or our discussion. The first of those is that we believe that this application promotes the general welfare. It certainly believe that it does that because the site is particularly well suited for the use. It is already a religious facility. It has been for many, many years. The plan is to occupy it in its existing condition for that specific use. With the addition of the child care facility, which I'm sure we're all aware, child care facilities kind of go hand in hand with religious institutions. Many, many facilities of all denominations have child care, preschools, things of that nature taking place within their buildings. It's a service to the community, both the religious aspect and the schooling aspect are services to the community. And because the site lays out so well as it currently exists, we believe that it is particularly well suited and that the general welfare is advanced. I think also, although this is an interesting way to look at it, I think, I believe that the purpose of zoning is advanced with this application through the promotion of free flow of traffic. Now, we have no parking, so how can I say that? Well, you have a facility that has been a religious institution for many years that has the ability to have, I believe, 60
seats
within it. If you happen to choose a different, or if you happen to have a different religious denomination in the building, you might have 60 plus cars coming to this facility for any given service. Because of this specific proposal for you this evening, you have a congregation of people who do not drive to the facility for their services. So that's a tremendous difference from how this building legally can operate because it has been an existing institution for years. It does not require any parking. It could open up exactly as it is. But because of how they intend to use it as part of this use variance application, that is a true decrease in the intensity of parking that's necessary for the religious aspect.
It does require parking.
With regard to the facility being utilized for child care, you heard how it gets utilized. We are proposing to solve any concerns with regard to drop-off and pickup by achieving the loading area from city government. And we describe exactly how that takes place, and we believe that there will have no issues whatsoever with regard to drop-off and pickup of the students. And you have a total of 4 employees there on any one given day. I've been there many times, in that neighborhood many, many times. There's parking in the area, on-street parking in the area for the 1 or 2 teachers that may drive and need to park in or around school facility. So, for all those reasons, we believe the site is very particularly well suited for use, and the general welfare is advanced, and traffic is actually benefited from the application.
So do you see any negative impacts from this project?
So with regard to the negative criteria, as you know, there are 2 prongs to that. The first prong is whether there is a substantial detriment to the zoning plan or zoning ordinance. And I stress the word substantial because when you make a change to a building, there's going to be impacts, but with this use that is proposed within the building, as I mentioned, I believe that the child care aspect goes hand in hand with the religious aspect of the way that the building is utilized, and the religious aspect is a permitted use in itself. So because we believe that the two do function very well together, we do not believe that there is any substantial detriment to the zoning plan or the zoning ordinance. There are no bulk changes being made, but for a couple of sign variances that we just discussed and the issue related to the fence. There is no increase in impervious coverage. There is no change in the building footprint. There is no change in building height. So we believe, again, that there is a substantial detriment to the zoning plan or the zoning ordinance. With regard to the second prong of the negative criteria, is there a substantial detriment to the public good? An application like this, you know, the key elements are everything that we've already discussed. What's the traffic pattern? Is it going to cause a problem for the neighborhood? It's going to cause a problem for the site? Is it going to create a safety condition? We described the traffic pattern. We believe that this site works very well for how the use will actually function. So we do not see traffic as being an issue. With regard to the hours of operation at this location, we believe work perfectly within a residential neighborhood. Hours of operation are 7:30 when everybody's going to work, and it's generally open by 4, which is before most people are coming home from work. Right. I know it before I come home from work.
Me too.
So it works well with the neighborhood with regard to its hours of operation. Even on Saturdays, when people do happen to be home and services are taking place, it's a congregation that walks. So you don't have an influx of 50 or 60 cars in your neighborhood, which is when you have small facilities like this in residential areas, that becomes a sticking point many times. I've dealt with a lot of applications like that where you have a church or some other religious institution in a community where all of the parking on a Saturday or Sunday, whatever time the religious services are, gets taken up by all the people coming to that facility, and it really creates an issue for the residents to live around it. That is not the case.
Please, sir.
It works very well and is very harmonious with the surrounding residential uses, both during the week because there's very limited parking needed, and on the weekends because of the way that the congregation walks around the facility.
Excellent. No.
So with regard to the any substantial detriment to the public good, we believe that this use as proposed works very, very well with our surrounding land uses, and there is no substantial detriment to the public.
And when you talk about public good, and you talk, it has to be synonymous with community, right? What are we talking about? The community.
100%.
What's better than a religious-based use in a residential community? I mean, that's, we look for that. We look for that with a child care facility. Okay. Thank you, John. Mr. Chairman, I have no further questions at this time. That would essentially end the applicant's presentation. I just want to reserve the right to ask any other, you know, recall my witnesses should I need to address any points brought up
that right.
By the opposition.
You always have the right to recall your witnesses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'd like to ask one before. I'd like to ask one question, and everybody's at the other board. The ma'am, that you operate the school. Can I ask you a question, please?
Sure.
Typically, in communities, there are buildings which we call safe zones. Does the school like this, a daycare center, for a parent, a child, or an adult, offer a safe zone for somebody that may be in jeopardy or have some duress to come to and ask for help?
I at this present time, we do work with children in foster care and that kind of thing, but we're not a drop-off center.
No, but if it was an emergency, I'm saying.
Yes,
if
yes,
they need
yes.
To come to that
yes.
Facility,
mm-hmm.
They could come to that facility, and then you could direct them to the whatever the case
yes.
Is. So it would be considered a safe house.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Dave?
Yeah.
Dan?
I have some questions. So I'm not familiar with it. Is the church active now?
Yes.
Okay. So when do they meet?
There are, I believe, representatives of the church here this evening. I think the gentlemen are sitting here. I thought they would probably speak during the public portion.
Okay.
But I could have them come up with you, like someone here from the church, that rabbi that you know that
you
could address.
You want to know when the services are. You explain when the services are currently.
Come on up. You have to be sworn in.
Sir, we'll have to swear you in first.
Could you state your name and address for the record, please?
Sure. Hey, Lynn. My address is 411 Gravel Bend Road, 8 Harbor Township, New Jersey.
Okay. Can you spell your name, please?
P-E-I. Last name, Lynn, L-I-N.
Okay. Mr. Lynn, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
Sure. We currently use on Sunday from 9 to 12. And during the weekday, we will have a small group usually in the evening, like Friday evening. But since COVID hit, most of our activity being online, we just recently returned to the building about 6 months ago. Yeah, that's it.
Did you hear the question in terms of how many people generally pre-COVID, they're maybe now that they picked that up? How many parishioners do you have?
We have about like 60, average about 60 people, yeah.
And they drive to the facility?
Yeah, yes, yeah.
So about how many cars does it generate during your services?
I would say maybe 15, because most of us carpool.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just park it in neighborhoods?
Yeah, yeah, surrounding area, yeah.
And that's usually just Sunday?
Usually just Sunday,
and
yeah.
And then sometimes you meet in the evenings, Friday, in smaller groups?
Yeah, that's pre-COVID, okay. Yeah.
I've never seen any impact in the neighborhood. I was just curious.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure.
Joe, I have a question for you, too. Okay?
Go ahead, Lori.
Yeah. I know that the synagogue on Atlantic Avenue, they do some food sales. They have events there. Would we expect that same kind of activity at this location?
I will tell you the answer is no, but I'm going to bring up the rabbi because I think he can answer that directly. I've asked him that and he said no. The only time there would be, this is really going to be on the Shabbat, on Saturday, on the Sabbath, and then holidays. Sometimes the holidays, you know, start at night in the Jewish calendar. You know, the day starts at sundown. So you could have a holiday that would be on a Thursday where...
So there would be events.
But not events. They're not going to be events. That would be just a holiday
service.
That would happen. A holiday service. Thank you.
Okay.
Rabbi, would you like to address that? Because I think it's a great question. Did you hear the question, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Okay.
This facility would really just be used for small services, not for events and things like that, and it's really for the local community that lives in that neighborhood, on those streets that are difficult to get onto the island where the other synagogues are.
I pass Atlantic Avenue all the time,
yeah,
and there is quite a bit of activity there,
yeah.
But it's not so much right, it's residential, but it's far more wide open.
Right.
So it wouldn't impact the neighbors quite as much. So that was my
right. So this is really just some religious services for a much smaller group of people, demographic that needs that neighborhood.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Board members, any questions of the applicant? Because if not, I'd like to open up to the public if I could. Leo, do you want me to
Yeah, Mr. Flower, do you want to start, or what's your preference?
Could they start, or let the public?
Let's let the public know. Okay, well, it's up to the chairman then.
Yeah, if we could, thank you, Mr. Flower, I appreciate it. But we'll let the public go. Some of the public go first. So, anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application, please come forward, state your name, and be sworn.
Hi, Scotty Van Dyne, 117 North Dudley, Ventnor.
Ms. Van Dyne, do you swear affirm the testimony will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
I've lived in this, in Ventnor Heights for over 40 years, and I have 5 grandchildren. They've all had the distinct pleasure of attending Ms. Sherry's Montessori School, and I am telling you this woman is a walking miracle with children. And I would do anything to let her teach any child. She's impacted hundreds of children in Ventnor. And I just want to say that I live right around the corner from the church that they're saying that she wants to go into, and it's never impacted on Sundays, the traffic or whatever. I'm just going to keep it short and just say, she's a walking miracle.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, the lady in the back, please. Please be sworn.
Same thing.
When you arrive.
Name and address, and I'll swear you.
Angela Salerno, 310 North Dudley.
Ms. Salerno, do you please raise your right hand? Do you swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I do. So I'm just here to say I'm all for this congregation. I live up that street. On Sundays when the church is open, if we have 10 cars parked up that street, it's a lot. And I've talked to some of the neighbors that unfortunately couldn't make it tonight, but they're also for that.
Right.
They're all for the congregation.
Not to be rude, just but there's a lot of...
Go ahead.
Whoever's here can speak.
Okay. Well,
it's just hearsay. It's not to attack you. It's just...
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I'm just here to say
what
they asked me to say. But I live up that street, and I am so for it. And that's it.
May I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
How close do you live to the church?
Excuse me?
How close do you live?
Five houses from the church.
Thank you.
On Dudley. On the same side of the church.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Anyone else wishes to... address the board, please come forward.
Hi.
All the way up. Come on up. Okay. Come on down.
All
right. And now raise your right hand.
State your name and address.
And your name and address.
My name's Gretchen Bennett, 115 North Dudley Avenue, Ventnor.
And Ms. Bennett, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Kind of echo what the two women before me have gotten up here and said. I'm just very, very, very much in support of this whole operation between the synagogue and Ms. Sherry's preschool. I have two young children. They are 3 and 1. They both attend the preschool. My daughter actually has the opportunity to go to Ventnor Public Schools next year because they offer free pre-K once you are 3, which would save my husband and I quite a bit of money if we chose to do that, but we're opting out of that since we're so happy and so pleased with the education and the friendships and the support she's been receiving at Ms. Sherry's. So, and I know many people who are in the same boat are choosing to keep their children at Ms. Sherry's. So she's wonderful, and you know, that is, I'm not going to keep it long and, you know, continue, but I also am a resident of that neighborhood as well. I currently live on the 100 block of Dudley. There really has never been an impact from the religious services that have been going on for so long. And I think having a child care center there, right, like if this goes through, would impact our community positively. I think it would improve property values for families to have a place so close to send their children. And I also think that it would keep a lot of families able to send their kids to daycare on the island, because I don't think there's a lot of options right now for people to send their children to daycare on the island. And I just think it would be a really bad decision if we did not allow this to happen.
I have one question. Are you a professional planner?
Am I a what?
Are you a professional planner? You're very
No, I'm an English teacher at Eichhorn Township.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What's your maiden name?
Van Dyne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, good evening. My name is Karen Kratchman Gold, and I'm a resident on Dudley Avenue at 312 North Dudley.
Okay.
And
Ms.
I
just have to swear you in. You swear from the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good. I think that it would be an awesome idea to have a daycare center slash preschool. I am also a former teacher in early childhood education and a working mother with a family that I had to find daycare for and, you know, help with getting out of the house. So I think it would be a great idea. I've lived here for about a year and a half now on the street. And again, we haven't seen a lot of traffic with the congregation that has been in existence there on Sundays or any other day. And I feel that it would be a wonderful idea and a wonderful addition to the neighborhood.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Please come forward.
Hi, my name is Emily Van Dyne. I live at 800 Burke Court.
800 Burke Court. Ms. Van Dyne, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
I reached out in support of Sherry's School and also the work that the Shabbat House is doing. my older son, Hank, started about 10 years ago with Ms. Sherry, and at the time, I had just left a really difficult relationship. I was unemployed. I was a single mom. It was a really tough spot. And I can say with absolute sincerity that without the support of Sherry Lenderman, I would not have made it. I really don't know what I would have done. And I'm an associate professor at Stockton, and I'm remarried, and we had another baby who also goes to Ms. Sherry's. She's just an extraordinary person, an extraordinary educator, and I really think that we should do everything that we can to support her. So, thank you.
I have a question from you. Are you still writing poetry?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Good.
Professionally.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Please come forward.
Evan Clemick, San Martin, 708 North Victoria Ave.
I'm sorry, can you just say your...
Evan Clemick, San Martin.
Clemick, San Martin.
Yes.
Okay, 708 North Victoria. Do you swear, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you, I apologize.
Sherry has been taking care of our youngest daughter since she was 3 months old. So I believe that would be February of 2019 is when she first went into Sherry's school, and she has been nothing short of extended family. Like, our daughter has been with Sherry from the moment we had to go back to work and couldn't be home with her, and we could not have been luckier to have Sherry in our lives. And to have her that much closer in the Heights, frankly, I think would be a great service to the greater community, because everyone, for the most part, from what I've seen, is coming from the Heights or Northfield or EHT. It actually serves us all significantly better. But keeping her in the area is, I think, our top priority, because we need her. I don't know where we would have went without her. So I just want to speak to the great job that she's done with our daughter and so many children. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, sir. You please come up.
My name is Sylvan Garfunkel. I reside at 712 North Harvard Avenue in Ventnor Heights.
Okay. Mr. Garfunkel, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Okay. So I've been a summer resident in Ventnor Heights for over 20 years, and for the last 2.5 years, a full-time resident at that same address. If it weren't for Rabbi Avraham and the Chabad house, we couldn't live here full-time. So it's a big part of what brought my wife and our small children here to live here full time. It's quite a walk from where we live to where the Chabad house is on Atlantic Avenue. As the weather's getting very hot right now, it is a brutal walk, especially pushing two small kids in a stroller. So I stop at my friend Matan's house, who lives across the street from the pickleball facility. We stop there, have a drink of water, and then continue on the walk, and by the time we get to the Chabad house, I'm dripping sweat. So to be able to add another house of worship for us that would be much closer and cut our walk in half would be a big plus for us, and help my kids as they start to get older and be able to walk themselves and not be in the stroller to make the walk. So if we could, that would be a big plus for us and for the community.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? I want to hold 1 second. But, oh, we have a gentleman coming up. Mr. Flower, you can come up anytime you want. You've been...
Hi, Ronald Zugin, Jerome and Atlantic Avenue in Margate, New Jersey. I've been a resident there for 47 years.
Mr. Zugin, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
This is not the first time that Chabad has appeared in front of you, and with your approval and wisdom, you can see how, as great as Ventnor is, Chabad has made it even greater. there's a real need for just more space. You can see you have young people and families, and many times I hear, where have all the young people gone? Well, they're coming back, and people are buying homes here. And by the way, I walk 2 miles from Margate. I have two synagogues a block and three blocks from me, because you never marry the girl next door. It's a happy place. So it's worth the walk, and we're talking about giving our youth exactly what you and I have had: faith, family, friendship, patriotism. This is what it's all about. Thanks for hearing us and offering us this opportunity. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else like to speak? Yes.
Hi. Joey Allen, I live in 110 South Oakways.
Slow down, please, and give us your name and address.
Joey.
No, he's got to record it.
So Joey's Allen, yes. A-L-L-M? A-H-A-M. 110 South Oakways, Margate, New Jersey.
So
I have...
Okay.
Oh.
Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give tonight to be the truth? Thank you.
So I have 4 little kids that every Sabbath we take a bike and we bike to the Chabad. I'm not familiar with the daycare, but familiar with the rabbi, but I heard great things with the daycare. This time that we came here from New York City before COVID and we decided to stay, we're very happy here. And my kids, if I don't take them on Sabbath, they're gonna be sitting on their iPads and doing their metaverse or whatever have you, for losing touch of seeing other kids and being friends with other kids, because with that I met our friends and other parents and then became more friends, and now we're creating a community that we all meet, we all gather, and we create a social life that's not online and real person with kids being with each other and not sitting on Zoom or wasting time on the internet. So thank you for this consideration. We hope you consider this, because it will help us, it will help our kids and our grandkids to come. Thank you.
Yes.
How you doing? Matan David, 219 North Dorset. I live right across from the church and the pickleball court.
Okay, Mr. David. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Chabad, the schools, everything, it's all a community. There's a lot of new people in Ventnor and Ventnor Heights, all over this island. And we were in short supply of daycare. I also have a daughter, 4 years old. She goes all the way to the JCC. We really need this. We really need this. We appreciate it. There's no issue with parking. Sometimes the church, they do have, you know, people coming in, and you know, maybe they're a little bit on my driveway. But you know, we live in Ventnor, and everybody's here is great, and it's nice, and there's really no issue in terms of parking or anything like that that I've ever experienced. Even people that work on that strip, you know, between the CVS and the pickleball court, sometimes they park on where we live. You know, there's really no issue. There's really no issue. And what the rabbi's doing in the daycare, you know, it's holy work. And give it a good thought. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else in the public? We're exhausting our supply here, so... anyone else wish to make a comment? If not, Mr. Flower.
Good evening, members of the board, Fleischman. I'm Willis Flower. I'm a partner in the firm of Ford, Flower, Hasbrook, and Laflad. We represent William Lacavera. Mr. Fleischman, if I may, I'd like to ask some questions of some of your witnesses.
Sure.
Let's start with John Barnhart. John, would you come up, please, and bring the site plan that you were testifying from?
And Mr. Flower, while you're doing that, I think I should just put on the record. I'm obviously the board attorney. It's been over a year. I did a small matter over a year ago. I represented Mr. Lacavera. I can be fair and partial. I don't vote. I don't. It's old and cold as far as I'm concerned, and not a conflict. So, I think this is the first time we've even met face to face, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
so.
there's no yeah. objection, and I appreciate the disclosure.
Yeah.
John, good evening. Okay, let's start by saying we agree the churches and synagogues are good things, and daycares are nice, and this sounds like an exceptionally nice daycare, so we're not going to be talking about that at all, okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, with respect to your testimony, you indicated, I think, that there is going to be a play area, and would you show me the area on your site plan where that play area is going to be?
Yeah, that's as outlined by my finger. We'll start here at the back of the sidewalk. There's a long, back of the sidewalk ties back into the building at that location. And then from that same corner, we'll come back to the front of the building and tie back into the building. So it's the front yard area right here.
Okay. And I know the chairman was asking you about this, but approximately how many square feet are in that area?
So I did the math while I was sitting here, and the total square footage of the fenced in area is 780 square feet.
Okay. And for how many children is that to accommodate?
So it's my understanding that the regulations require 350 square feet for every 10 children.
Okay.
Which would allow for 20 children.
Okay. And how many children will this facility be servicing?
It's my understanding that the maximum permitted in the building based on the inspection of the form is 20 children.
Okay. And do I understand that that is a condition of the approval, that the maximum number of children in the building would be 23?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Now, with respect to the area, and we can exclude Sundays, but on the days that the school is operating, that's Monday through Friday?
That is my understanding.
Okay, and unlike the congregation, we anticipate that many, if not most, of these children will be arriving by automobile?
Correct.
Okay, and there is a designated drop-off area? Okay, and where's the proposed drop-off area?
It is on Dudley Avenue.
Okay. Now, when the children are dropped off on Dudley Avenue, is there parking along that side of the street?
There is currently parking along that side of the street. We are proposing to appear before City Council Commission to have that area designated for loading.
Okay, and what length of the street do you want to have designated for loading and unloading?
We're proposing 50 feet.
Okay, and that would accommodate how many parking spaces?
It would accommodate two legal parking spaces with room for maneuvering to be able to pull, back out and get back into the traffic street.
Okay, now, are you, let's stay on the drop-off for a moment. After the children are dropped off on Dudley Avenue, how do they access the building?
Well, it's my understanding that the children aren't dropped off. That the vehicle would stop, the parent would get out and walk the child to the front door of the building, which is the daycare facility that would enter here by the main door stairs right here.
Okay, so from Dudley Avenue, which is where?
Right here.
Okay, and they would walk around this corner?
Walk down the sidewalk and in front door. Yes.
Now, with respect to uh, the entrance in the front door, you understand a greeter would meet the children there and then take them into the school itself?
That's how it was explained to me.
Okay. Now, in terms of your opinions about the negative criteria, can we agree that there's no school operating out of this property now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is going to be a new activity on the area for this building. And in formulating your opinions, did you take into consideration the number of employees that would be working in this building?
Yes.
Okay, and what do you understand the number of employees would be?
It's been explained to me that there are four.
Okay. Those are the teachers and the...
Miss Sherry.
Miss Sherry, okay. Because I didn't really get the spelling of her name, so you saved me there. Are there maintenance people?
I would presume that a maintenance individual would go to the site as needed, but a building of this size, I can't imagine that there is a maintenance person on the site all the time.
Okay. Now, on the interior, there's a number of rooms. There's, I think, a main service area and then another larger room. And what will they be used for?
So, either the rabbi or Sherry would probably be better able to explain that, but...
Okay, I'll be glad to ask them. That's not a problem. With respect to the... I hope they're not coming for us. With respect to the trash and the waste this operation will generate, where is that stored?
So the trash, there's trash cans currently stored behind the building, which are brought out, as it was explained to me, are brought out from the avenue.
Okay. Now, are meals going to be served to any of these children? That's okay. Well, I'll ask Ms. Sherry. Okay? All right. And the trash cans come out the alley to Dudley Avenue?
Correct.
And how wide is that area?
Probably a little less than 2.5 feet.
Okay, 2.8 feet maybe?
Yeah, actually 2.3 feet.
Okay, perfect. Even better. With respect to the waste generation, now that this is a school as opposed to a just simply a place of worship, do you anticipate that the waste material would increase, decrease, or stay about the same?
The waste material will likely increase from its current operation.
Okay. Now, you were telling us about moving the sign, and can you show me? I couldn't see when you were using the chart.
The existing sign cabinet is adjacent to the front entrance, kind of in the middle of the building.
Right.
And we're proposing to move it to the corner of the property.
And what's the purpose for doing that?
To allow additional space for the children to be able to play.
Okay.
And to also have the sign be a little bit more visible.
Okay. Now we're talking about a fence around the property?
A fence surrounding the enclosed play area that I discussed.
Okay.
But we're not fencing the entirety of the property.
Okay. And we're proposing now a 6-foot picket fence?
An open picket
fence. Open picket fence. Yeah.
The height is, as the board made, we are comfortable with any height that the board's comfortable with.
Okay. And in terms of fencing, in the area this fence will be, is there a height requirement in the current ordinance?
As was described by Mr. McClaren, I think the maximum is 6 feet.
And is any of this fence in the front yard? Is there a different height requirement for fences in a front yard as opposed to another yard in this zone?
Yeah, we're requesting variance for fence location and height.
Now, I want to ask you some questions about that part of your testimony where you said this site is particularly well suited. Does this site have any off-site parking?
Does
Would off-site parking be desirable for an operation such as this school?
Parking is always desirable, but based on the way the school operates, the parking is not necessary, in my opinion.
So to the extent that anybody working in the building drives, they'll have to park on the street?
So there are, again, as was explained to me, there are four employees, one of them lives in the neighborhood and will walk, and the other three will likely drive to the site and will park on the street.
Okay. Are you familiar with the normal parking situation in this area during business hours on weekdays?
I am. I've done dozens of projects in the park.
Okay, and how would you describe the availability of parking in this particular area?
I would say I would describe the availability of parking during certain periods of time very, very much available, and then during other periods, part of time.
What periods of time is it very available?
Middle of the day and in the evenings.
What periods of time is it hard to find?
In the summertime.
Okay. Just the summertime generally?
Yeah, except weekends mostly.
Do you know if there's any impact on the parking in this residential neighborhood from the businesses along Dorset Avenue?
I'm certain that it is.
Do you have any idea the extent of that impact?
By way of count, I would have no way to measure that.
Okay. With respect to the pickleball facility to which this property is adjacent, does that have off-street parking? Are you aware whether or not there's a problem with non-pickleball patrons trying to utilize that parking?
I'm not aware of that, but I do know that citywide that can be an issue.
Would entering the subject property with the area for the off-street parking for the pickleball be attractive to people who want to go to the school?
So again, there are people going to the school. There are four people that need a parking spot, potentially only three. And those people know that that is not parking that goes with this facility and are not going to park there. None of the children have cars or will be, and the parents do not stay. So as far as the child care facility is concerned, there would be absolutely no reason for somebody to park in a lot that they're illegally parking.
Well, let's explore that. You told us before that the parent would assist the child out of the car and walk the child to the front door.
Correct.
So the parent would need to stop, park the car somewhere, exit the car, leave the car there, and walk around to the front door, correct?
That is correct.
Would it be easier to walk around to the front door from Dudley Avenue or from my client's parking area?
My opinion would be easier to do it from Dudley Avenue because you are somebody who comes to that site every single day and you know that that's going to be an open and safe location that's going to be monitored by the school.
On Calvert Avenue, what is your opinion as to the level of traffic service on that particular street? Is it heavy, moderate, light?
As compared to what? I mean, it's a residential street that's 50 feet wide. If you're talking about traffic levels of service, I would consider it light.
Okay. Is that street something that's commonly used to go to the ballpark?
It's a two-way street, so Calvert Avenue is used.
Okay. And the rowing club is in that area? And would you anticipate it would be used for that purpose as well?
It's a public street. It could be used for any purpose. When I take my own child to the rowing club, I don't use the last Calvert Avenue. That means anything.
Well, it means you don't use Calvert Avenue when you take your kid to...
It means there's other options besides Calvert Avenue.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I missed her last name, but Ms. Sherry.
Sherry
Lemmerman. Okay. I can't even read my own writing. Ms. Lemmerman, would you come forward, please? Thank you. I'm already sworn you good evening. I won't hold you long. With respect to the uses in the building, are meals served?
They, we don't serve meals. They have a lunch box.
Okay. And is the kitchen facility used at all?
It wouldn't be used for preparing children's food by us. Maybe, you know, a teacher might, you know, put some, a salad in the refrigerator or something like that. But we, under our licensing, we do not prepare food. It's brought in by the parents.
Is one of the conditions that being approval being sought here would be no more than 23 students?
Correct.
If more than 23 wanted to register, would they be turned away?
Yes.
Now, with respect to the people, some testimony about staggering or staging the drop-offs, you indicated the number of the students are children of teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Approximately how many are teachers that are teachers?
Well, if I, like, of 20 kids, probably 12. And then I have firemen and other people that have different varying jobs.
And the teachers and the 12, I'm saying it's approximate.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work at the same time?
Different times. So Atlantic City has a different start time. Lafayette has a different start time. Some of my teachers come from Northfield.
Well,
so
the Atlantic City students, how many of them?
Four.
And they're all coming at roughly the same time, correct?
Unless the wife drops off, or the husband. It can be either or. But we do have a staggering time for when they come in.
And in terms of the children, some of the children just, well, the staggering time is over what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
And is that true also for leaving?
Yes.
So if I'm...
More like an hour at the end of the day.
All right, that's fair enough. So at the end of the day, approximately 23 kids are going to go out of there in an hour, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
When it comes across in the transcript, when we go...
Oh, okay,
home,
oh, okay. All right.
If it causes a scenario for all kinds of trouble. Now, these children... some of them come in car seats?
Yes.
So when it's necessary to either drop them off or pick them up, stop the car, correct?
Correct.
Parent exits the car?
Correct.
Parent goes to the child, gets the child out or inside the car seat?
Correct.
And the parent walks the child around in front of the building or from the front of the building back to the car?
Correct.
And then there is a greeter at the door, and the child hits the door, the greeter takes over, and the parent goes back to the car?
Correct.
Okay. Now, if the greeter is bringing one kid into the school, and another child, or two children, or three children arrive, what happens then?
Well, the cubbies are all set up right there. So that would be exactly, they have a cubby for all their book bags, and then there's a cubby for their food. So it's all basically right, they come right in, everything's put in. It's a matter of seconds to bring each child in. And it's not a problem taking three children in at the same time.
You haven't met my children. I have no further questions. Thank you very
okay.
much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good evening again, Rabbi.
Sure.
I won't keep you long. You have other locations in the area for your organization, correct?
It's other organizations?
Well, the school is, you have other locations. The school's in this, what is it, 6,500? You're moving the school to the source of this Dudley
Yes.
So it will be used for the school?
Yeah.
It will be used for religious ceremonies?
Yes.
Now, of the religious ceremonies, are we just talking about the four souls who have to help it from, say, Marty where does the congregation come from who will attend the religious ceremony?
Well, we won't stop anyone from wanting to join us, but the intention is really to service the people that I discussed
who
earlier.
Walk in.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, besides religious services, will the church have, the synagogue have other activities?
We don't have anything planned.
Well, do they have performances?
That's a religious service done during a ceremony.
Okay.
Most likely a bar mitzvah is a bigger event, will be done in a different location. That's a pretty small location.
Okay. On holidays, are there ever events of any type that are, these conclaves will be held at this area?
The plan for this location is simply a place of prayer, of worship.
Will it be used for worship on days other than Shabbat?
Generally, no, but sometimes a holiday falls out during the week. It depends how the lunar calendar falls out.
And the number of students will not exceed 23. The students at the school will not exceed 23?
That's correct. Just religious services, maybe a one-on-one lesson once in a while, but nothing that's planned regularly.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, do you want to go on your regular now, or do you
I just want to ask Mr.
Before you start, Mr. Flowers, are you complete?
Got a witness.
Are you complete, or you have more to
I was going to call witnesses, but okay. I guess my colleague, if
right.
he wanted to agree directly.
Fine.
I just want
to know what your plan was, that's all. But thank you.
Just three questions, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Do you give instructions to your parents on how to drop off and pick up?
Yes.
In the process, you explain the process to them?
Yes.
Right. And obviously, if someone was going to use another parking lot, you won't have any control over that, right? To
no, but I
I'm not sure why they would do that because they'll be sitting closer to your front door than the pickleball court.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And you don't have a maintenance person on site.
We do not have a maintenance person.
You're probably the maintenance person.
I'm the maintenance person.
You
yep.
cook, you bottle wash, you do it all.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And isn't the number of children that you were allowed to have driven by the department?
Correct.
At the end of the day?
Correct. Licensing.
Thank you. I have no further
questions. Thank you. Okay.
We're going to swear you in.
Sure. Just your name and address.
Bill Lacavera, 403 North Ashford Avenue in Ventnor, New Jersey.
Mr. Lacavera, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give will be the truth?
I do.
Thanks.
Yes.
And are you affiliated with any properties in the vicinity of this particular street?
Well, I own the only two properties that border it. I own the pickleball court next to it and the house behind it.
Okay. Now, with respect to parking in the area, the residential area, back off of Dorset Avenue, you're familiar with situation.
I've been working there every day for the last 2 or 3 months, and I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Would you describe to the board what you have observed in the parking?
Well, there's no parking on the left side of Calvert Avenue going towards the ballpark. Dudley is a one-way street going towards the west or towards Pleasantville. And every morning, the Primo Pizza car comes over and parks and takes the first parking space up on the left. And then the two girls from the massage parlor take up the next two parking spots. And then the house across the street, John Callahan, he's not allowed to park on Calvert Avenue, so he has his two RVs that park next to it, that park on